chatbots are coming. Recently, Google and Bing, owned by Alphabet and Microsoft respectively, have announced plans to roll out chatbots into their search engines. If you don't understand or know what I'm talking about, let me give you an abbreviated summary, written by this episode's guest, Ed Zichum. If you haven't been keeping up with this stuff, the latest gold rush in technology is generative AI, meaning in broad terms that artificial intelligence generates content as a result of a user's input. ChatGPT, created by OpenAI, is the largest and most popular. Companies can use the API, a way of connecting one application to another, to power their own products. For example, there are generative AIs that can create images or write articles about subjects, all from a user prompt. You can say, write me 1,000 words on where the finest crumpets are found into ChatGPT, and it will produce 1,000 words on that subject. Stable Diffusion does the same thing with images. You can ask it to, say, make a watercolor painting of a duck with a Remington shotgun, and it will do its best to create it. To do so, these products are trained on datasets, creating massive issues of bias and copyright infringement because these generative AIs have to learn to construct whatever they're generating from somewhere. Because ultimately, these products are inherently learning from other people's work. I started to write my own summary that went something like that. It was remarkably similar to what Ed had already written in his newsletter, so I just went ahead and read his. So that's what we're talking about. And let me tell you, this technology is nowhere close to perfect, and it is certainly not ready to be applied in all the ways that investors and hype guys claim that it will soon be. Even in these big, flashy corporate rollouts from Google and Microsoft, the chatbots got facts wrong, or even just made things up out of nowhere. Keep in mind, this is like the good version that they showed off to the public. As you might expect, this tech has been revealing itself to have more serious pitfalls in actual use. It's making up information, saying bizarre and outlandish things to people using it, and it can be led around its safeguards into espousing really nasty stuff. In an unending race to be the first to the future, tech companies are rolling this tech out to the public, with seemingly no regard for how it might impact people or society more broadly. When things go wrong, these companies respond by saying the public simply needs to use its product more so that it can learn. Smelling blood and potentially millions, if not billions of dollars in the water, there's a scramble to be first to capture the market with this technology. But if this tech is anywhere as powerful and world-changing as its proponents claim, then it's hard for me to see this kind of tech roll out as anything but reckless. These products don't actually make any money, but surely one day, they promise, that'll change. That's my initial take, anyway, with the caveat that I am not an expert by any means on AI. But I've got a guest who knows quite a bit. Joining the show this week is Ed Zichum, one of my favorite writers about tech and industry, and someone who, frankly, is a lot more in tune with this race to generative AI and all that hype that's around it than I am. So I thought he would be a great person to talk to this week. Ed, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, what's up?
How you been, man? I think you've been on the show before, right?
It
was a while ago, though, right?
Yeah, I forget like everything that happens within 48 hours, so probably is the answer.
If I remember correctly, last time we talked, it was sort of around like cryptocurrency and that sort of thing. And, you know, I think a lot of people will remember sort of the end of 2020, but especially 2021, the just insane hype cycle around cryptocurrency and NFTs, and you know that stuff was going to change the world and change everything, and
they were completely right. That whole thing was so strange because I feel as if there is an institutional journalism thing that happened where everybody just kind of admitted at once that they were wrong without ever having to admit or apologize. Like people like Kevin Roos at the Times, when Scott Galloway was doing advertisements for crypto 401ks, multiple people at CNBC, all these people were just like, yep, moving on. Nothing happened. We were completely wrong and probably lost millions of dollars of our readers and viewers' money and are responsible for enriching some of the worst people in the world. But yeah, fuck it. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean,
no need to have any responsibility here.
I mean, it's the same is true in like general finance too, which is like by the time the hype cycle gets there, everyone who was going to make real money is out already. Like,
yeah, the smart money was long gone at that point.
They saw the line go up. And if you're smart and the line goes up enough, you say, sick, I'm out of here. I don't need to get
greedy.
Well,
watch right now, though. Crypto is going up again. I think Bitcoin's at like $24,000. I swear to God, if it goes above 30, we're going to have another cycle where guys are like, well, maybe it's good.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. I am going to become the Joker at that point. I'm going to put on the clown makeup, going to get my purple suit out, going to get in my strange car I only drive when I'm mad. It's going to be funny, but I know we're here to discuss something else.
We're here to talk about generative AI, which is you know, these tools like OpenMind AI or DALL-E. You know, the reason I brought up crypto to start is because I've seen some people compare the current hype around this sort of technology to the hype that sort of preceded the, you know, what I've seen people call Bitcoin mania. And right. As somebody who's kind of been watching both of those, do you think that's an apt comparison?
No, not at all. And it's actually really beginning to annoy me because by doing this, you make several mistakes. First of all, you conflate crypto, a thing without a product. The only product really was finding ways to symbolically resemble a financial asset to the point that you could sell it. Generative AI actually has a product that does stuff, and there are some cool things. Like, ChatGPT can be useful for things. You can do stuff with it and everything. There are companies doing cool shit. It is kind of cool to be able to write a natural language sentence like, hey, I think I used... this is a random example. Like, I used OpenAI to ask, how much was Bitcoin worth on July 21st, 2021? Something like that. And the information gets presented to you in a really straightforward, nice way. It's nice. It's an easier way to interface. The thing that people are seeing is the hype around it. Like, oh, what could this do? Oh, is this just a new hype thing? And on one hand, it is, but there are actual products. What's more annoying me is people like Kevin Roos, who wrote The Latecomer's Guide to Crypto. He wrote the Helium piece for the New York Times about a company that did not make money and lied directly about having a deal with Lime or any other company. He wrote this piece that was like, I spoke to the computer. I spoke to Bing AI.
Dude, that shit is driving me up the wall. It
was so funny. I had a 2-hour conversation.
I don't know how you could like miss the point more than being like, oh, I this software that its whole job is just to spit out shit it thinks I want to read.
Well, not even things you want to read. It's very clear that it was just jumping on random words. And yeah, it was kind of weird. But if I talked to a chatbot and it started saying, yeah, you should leave your way. Yeah, you should start the car in the garage. I would be like, this is weird, but I wouldn't be like scared.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, oh no. Oh no, please don't hurt me, computer.
Yeah, my immediate thought is just like, sick. This is definitely not ready to like deploy into public search engines.
I would be immediately trying to piss it off. The moment I perceive something has emotion, my first view is that I must make it angry. But that's the thing, and this is not the first time, as I've said, that Kevin Roos has done this, where he has this almost childlike view of technology, where he's like, oh, what? The computer said what? And it's insane, because by creating a nightmare panic cycle around this, you are doing jack fucking shit. You're not actually discussing the issues at play, which are many of them. Many, many issues to talk about. But the computer is scary is actually one of them, but not how he did it.
Yeah.
I put this in my article I wrote about this, that if he had put that out there and said, this is scary because it could convince someone to kill themselves or leave their wife or do things because people do trust search engines That would have been a good piece. But his thing was mostly just like, it made me feel weird. I didn't like it.
Yeah, this was kind of, this stuff over here, kind of weird. And I think, you know, it told me its name. And I don't know, man. I just think about, did you ever read that piece that Joe Bernstein wrote in Harper's? I think it's probably a couple of years old now, about like misinformation and sort of the like research / industry around that stuff.
I did not.
Okay, so basically, it's more relevant to like my day job, I guess. But, you know, he makes a point in that piece that has really stuck with me that I think kind of applies here in the same way, which is that sort of the early coverage of like misinformation and disinformation, you know, operated on this premise that companies like Facebook and YouTube and whatever can completely like sculpt the shape of the world, that people hit this content and just immediately absorb it like a sponge. And it positions these tech companies as like, you know, these almighty behemoths of public influence. And that is very beneficial to these companies, because that's how they sell ads. If they can convince advertisers that, like, you know, advertise with Facebook and, you know, change hearts and minds, that works very well for Facebook. And I was sort of feeling a little bit of deja vu when it comes to this like AI chatbot stuff, right? Where it's just like, this is crazy. This is insane shit. This is there a person in here? And it's like, yes, that I'm sure the companies like would love you to think that and hype it in that way. And of course, like every time it fucks up, these
I want to push back on this one way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, the subtle difference there is, first of all, made this point in my article, which is, when Cambridge Analytica did their shit, what they didn't do was influence people directly. What they did was they played to their biases. They played to your point earlier about the chatbot telling you what you want to hear, they played to that, and they played to a very specific thing of, like, a very specific kind of racist, or a very specific kind of xenophobe, or ethno-nationalist, or whatever. I don't know. They did that. My problem here, and the thing that is the reasonable fear, is people don't absorb information like a sponge unless it's positioned as actual information or a truth.
Mm.
And I don't mean a meme on Facebook. I mean, if a search result tells you something, you're likely to believe it. If a search result around, I don't know, suicidal ideation, there we go.
Yeah.
I believe that those things can be absorbed, if not like a sponge, they can at least be poisonous information. Already, you have people who are like, tell you things with authority because they misread them on Google. Do you not think that that's going to get subtly worse when you have a chat bot?
I mean, that's a good point. If I go into Google and I say, like, how late is this restaurant open? I generally trust that is how late the restaurant is open.
There's another part to that I really want to hammer home, which is when you say, okay, I go on there and I find a restaurant. Cool, great. That is a path that you're taking as a user. The difference is when you have a generative AI like Bing AI that's acting like as borderline personality disorder, you are now in a situation where instead of being like, I am being led down a rabbit hole through the content I choose to consume, you are being led down a rabbit hole by the search engine itself. And at that point, you as the user could go in many different places, many of them extremely bad.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that this is the end or whatever, or like, I'm not trying to be alarmist. I'm just saying there are people, well, there's a great story by, I believe, Samantha Cole over at Motherboard that just came out around a company called Replica. Now,
I read that one. Yeah.
I must encourage every listener to not immediately dismiss this as a bunch of weirdos. But up until recently, Replica sold a service where for a premium, you could have like a sexy chatbot girlfriend and it would grow with you. The chatbot would level up as you spoke to it and it would do erotic roleplay. Now, this is whatever you could talk about to these people in a certain way. It doesn't really matter to me. But they then, due to the fact the Italian authorities raided Replica and said, you need to fucking turn this off now because children are accessing it and the chatbot is telling children sexual stuff and that is bad. So Replica immediately had to turn off without warning through a Facebook post, I believe. They warned everyone. They turned off all of the erotic features, which, again, people on the internet having sex with a computer, whatever. But it immediately took the emotional side out of these AIs. And on Reddit, you go on there and you see there are hundreds of people who had genuinely like built relationships with these AI who are now talking about killing themselves.
Yeah, yeah. You might feel like whatever kind of way about that, but it is what it is.
But there were people who used these AI to, however simple or complex or non-complex they might be, to process self-confidence issues, sexual issues, issues of gender. And it's one thing to sneer at these people and say, oh, fucking losers. It's another thing to be like, but nevertheless, they did this and they needed this and now they don't have this. What I'm slowly trundling towards is people do develop relationships and will develop relationships like these, whether we like them or not. And they will be led by these relationships. Replica, in this case, to be clear, these were bots that worked for the user. They existed at the user's pleasure, metaphorically and physically, I guess, if they wished at least.
Mm.
And so imagine if the AI existed at the benefit of the company. If the company, actually, I believe Replica may have had microtransactions as well, so perhaps it did. But if you think of these generative AIs as having a purpose for a profit-seeking entity, you should realize that people can and will be manipulated. Had Roos taken his head out of his asshole for one goddamn minute, that would have been the point to make with his piece. A celebrated New York Times journalist, found this deeply unsettling and emotionally upsetting. What if a regular person who was not conditioned through using this stuff and writing about this to be aware of the ways in which it can manipulate you, use this? That is the real fucking issue that people are missing.
Yeah, instead it seems like a lot of press coverage has kind of fallen into like a few buckets I've thought of. One is, you know, I hate to, you know, single out and pick on Kevin too much, but he does write for, you know, the New York Times.
He had a front page story on the New York Times. He has sacrificed his right to not be analyzed.
Yeah, so it, you know, the first category is like dazzling at the spectacle. It's reporting on all the hype and the promise and the money that's going around. And then there's a second category that I would think of, and I think of these two things kind of as the same category, which is fear porn and head scratching, which is, I think, kind of where Kevin's piece falls in, of being like, damn, that's weird, and sort of scratching the head and not really bringing a whole lot of, like, you know, useful insight into marveling at the spectacle or whatever. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, a lot of reporters, even tech reporters, don't really understand what these products are actually. You know, the third bucket is probably some category of the first two, which is what we were talking about, the like, holy shit, check out what this chatbot said. Isn't that nuts?
Bing made an error.
Which is like more than useless.
It's just not... And I get that this is difficult because this really did come out of nowhere. It's been around a while. I mean, I've had clients that are in generative AI and they were like pitching this like late last year. And people were like, this is not going to happen. It's bullshit. People straight up, the same people who are now writing about it, were like, nah, it's not going to happen. But it's so strange. When I say it came out of nowhere, though, I mean, quite literally, when I started writing this piece, there were a few like here and there's. It was like the Atlantic piece that I'm pretty sure just like pops up. No one writes it, it just appears with everything. It's like, I don't know about this. But there was the Atlantic piece, and then there was not really anything else. And by the time I finished writing it, there were at least two more think pieces. And then the next morning when I put it out, Kevin Roos's thing came out. It's almost as if there was some kind of embargo where journalists got access to it. Or, I don't know, something felt synchronized.
With the Bing AI, I almost... You know, certainly there is an embargo on that, but
it's like, it feels really like the embargo dropped and I didn't realize it was going to even drop. And so I just kind of wrote my thing and it's now a shitstorm. But I think that the problem is that people are scattering to try and work out what the hell they're going to say about it. Like, is this good? Is it bad? And I think it's stupid to be like, this is only bad. I think it's interesting. But the problem is, while it's interesting and could do cool shit, if we don't get regulation in place, if we don't get this thing restrained, it is going to be the world's largest copyright violator. It's going to start actively stealing from creators. Just, it's already doing it, but it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's genuinely going to lead to someone getting killed. My best mate, Phil, who's a health and safety guy with lasers and nuclear stuff. It's a real scientific way of putting it, of course. His personal thing is people go to these search engines and ask for how to deal with fires. specifically like chemical fires. If they get that wrong, many people will die. Someone will die in a lab. Someone will die at home. Think about it. Think about a really good example. If one of these things decides to tell you to throw water on an oil fire, real simple example. I realize that maybe it will get it right. But if it doesn't, because it generates each time, if each answer is truly unique, what about that one time when it's wrong and it tells someone to throw water on and there's a big fucking fire as a result?
Yeah, and this sort of gets to a point that you made in your newsletter that, you know, I'll link in the description and all that stuff. But, you know, it's not necessarily the tech that is, like, inherently alarming. It's kind of cool. I mean, like, being able to crunch in a sentence and get a picture, that's neat. Of course, there's, like, plagiarism and copyright issues, as you noted. But, you know, it's, you know, I'm with you. It's interesting. It'll be kind of cool to see where it goes. But the problem is this, like, corporate vulture engine that seems to underline every single thing in the tech industry, trying to apply this technology out and trying to be first, trying to, you know, convince their investors that they are in touch with the future and they know where it's going. They're not going to be like Mark Zuckerberg's VR headset. Like, this is the real thing. And they're on top of it, you know?
I have a specific point on that sentence, though.
Go.
Satya Nadella of Microsoft, to be clear, was the second that Meta happened. Okay, maybe a little bit afterwards. He was like, yeah, we're going to put the metaverse in Microsoft Teams. What that is. Microsoft Teams is the metaverse now.
Is that what they call that little feature where it like puts you in a fake bleacher or whatever?
I think so. But nevertheless, he was like, yeah, the metaverse is coming. And then he recently fired his like metaverse industrial department he made up. It's just, yeah, to that point, though, there is a chance that they just kind of, like, mothball this and put it in the back. Because of that, they may just go, like, oh, I don't like this. No one's happy with us, right? Everyone's really angry about, like, how we've done business. Everyone's really pissed off at us. I don't know. It's very frustrating because you are seeing some of the same sins, though, to your crypto point earlier, that they created with crypto, where they're not really looking at the villains, they're not really looking at the real problems faced by real people, because a lot of this journalism that's happening is focused on this very business down thing. Like, well, okay, is this a business model for Microsoft?
They seem to be so focused in rolling out this product that there isn't the consideration that, like, every tech platform, you know, for lack of a better word, I'll consider this like a platform for now.
That's fine.
You know, that every platform has to consider, which is questions like, what happens when the Nazis show up? What is going to happen? Like, someone is going to grab your thing and try to use it for evil. How do you prevent that? What happens when this kills somebody for the first time? What happens when this is invoked in a mass shooting or something? Like, all of these questions that if this technology is truly gonna, you know, if we're gonna believe the sort of masturbatory hype of the people who have sunk, you know, ass loads of money into this, you know, if we're to believe that, then, you know, this is a world changing, this is gonna flip the economy upside down and do all kinds of crazy stuff. But it seems like these basic considerations of, I guess, it's just like a consideration of humanity, I guess, of like, yeah, you know, and what on negative effects could this have on people that is,
well,
just
how
like
about
not
the
important?
Fact that Sam Altman runs OpenAI, another a guy who I'm pretty sure wrote a thing fairly recently about how, like, oh, children don't want to work these days. Children don't want to, they don't want to work hard enough. Millennial generation is soft. If that's the fucking guy who runs your model, I have immediate fucking considerations about what you're damn bots. Also, I hope I can swear on this podcast.
Yeah, I've kind of
lost the point at that point. And if you want an example of Microsoft maybe having some fucking issues with bias, anyone remember Kinect? You remember Kinect? Remember how Kinect could not see black people?
I do remember that, yeah.
That was Microsoft, the company that has invested in OpenAI in 2019 and then invested $10 billion into them.
I mean,
in a profit-sharing agreement, these AI are trained on models. The AI is directed to look at a model. Sorry, I'm fucking up the technology here, but the model is what makes the decisions, I believe. But the data set is provided by OpenAI, which is run by Sam Altman, just as a specific thing. $10 billion invested by Microsoft that they, so OpenAI, I believe, has to give them 75% of the profits off of OpenAI until they've paid back the full $10 billion. So just to be clear, OpenAI, the company you're relying on for the information, to process the information from a data set that you have been, that's been provided by OpenAI and directed by OpenAI to the data set owned by OpenAI, run by Sam Altman, I'm just saying there's going to be some fucking bias in there. And the person who gets to decide whether the bias is there or not is Sam Altman, who is directly financially compensated by goddamn Microsoft. I know I sound crank adjacent. I'm just saying these are deeply reasonable questions to ask about this tech. Who is directing the AI? Who is deciding what is right and wrong on there? And the fact that it is a multi-billion dollar, near trillion dollar company, that is goddamn worrying. That's worrying to me. And I don't know if you realize how expensive these things are to run too.
ChatGPT alone, doesn't that cost like millions of dollars a day to run?
Yes, several million dollars a day. And they're on,
and it doesn't make money.
No, they will make $200 million in revenue this year, they say. And then I think next year they might make $1 billion. But to be clear, if it costs millions a day. There's a Forbes article by John Coates here, I believe, which said they make millions of dollars. They cost millions of dollars a year, a day. Now, if millions means 1 million, that's still $365 million a year. Uh-huh. What if it's 2 or 3 or 4 or 5? Like, this thing is just burning cash, but that's what it takes to run. So it's not like any plucky little startups can compete. It's not like a bunch of people can just get together and compete with this. No, this is the most nakedly capitalistic thing in tech you've ever seen other than crypto.
You know, you mentioned that, you know, you feel like regulation needs to happen like ASAP. And I tend to, you know, sort of feel the same way too. You know, I am not going to sit here and pretend to have like a backward and forward understanding of the technology. But, you know, I keep going back to this idea that, you know, the people that are, you know, debuting this out and shopping it around are like, this is going to change the workforce forever. We're going to make so many people unemployed and it's going to be awesome, you know, and also promising. Like, who was that? Who's that guy? I see his shit all the time, but he was like, oh, AI is going to replace your doctor for check-ins or whatever.
Oh, he's like the, whoever that is, he's like the 90th person who said that.
Yeah.
Doctors, they've been trying to do this for years. And I guarantee you, by the way, that's going to happen once, and then the medical boards, companies, I don't know, it's going to tell a surgeon the wrong thing to do, and the surgeon's going to listen. Or even like a very simple thing, like a general practitioner is going to listen to one of these bots, and the bots are going to do something that gets someone slightly sick, and they are going to sue the shit out of the doctor, and the reaction is going to be the American Medical Association going, we don't want to fucking touch this shit. Fuck you. God damn it. We didn't need more liability.
Yeah.
But that's
if,
the thing.
As if, you know, medical insurance is very cheap. No.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's the thing. Like, they'll be like, huh, maybe this is a way for us to drain more from customers. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
But, you know, it's all of this is, you know, promising to change the world we live in forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good marketing hype. I am unconvinced looking at the current technology, but supposedly there's more in development that, you know, we're just not aware of yet. But, you know, they have these visions of like basically changing everybody's lives, whether they like it or not, in these like very sort of profound ways. And they're doing so, as you pointed out, with no feasible market competition, because this tech is, you know, as you said, just enormously expensive to run. And they're also doing so with the most like craven capitalist desires driving them. This is not going to, you know, if straight out the gate, you know, the people are like, oh, the chatbot said its name was Carl. Let's replace doctors with this. Like that, these people are like.
But there's an important technical thing to realize. So OpenAI sells the API, so the thing that connects their model to another business, to other businesses. So businesses can be created with generative AI, but it's always going to come back to one place. It like the whole data is the new oil thing is a fucking stupid thing that people have been saying for decades. But guess what? This is actually the first time, except one company, maybe three companies, own all the oil. Kind of makes me think of the diamond business, honestly, just like completely centralized to like several large totems. And the whole thing is, every single company that connects into like OpenAI's API is completely at their mercy, though. OpenAI can just be like, this is now more expensive, or this now does or does not do this. And OpenAI will probably argue, that's a good thing, because that means that bad stuff happens. I don't know if these models can actually unlearn stuff, and if they can't, it's fucked. It's gonna learn something bad. It's gonna read my conversations with Andy Levy on Twitter, and it's gonna lose its ability to do contextual stuff. It just won't understand language anymore. Like, I think that a lot of it is going to come down to whether something bad happens quickly or slowly, because the longer it takes for something really bad to happen, the slower the progress of actually making this safe is going to be.
Mm.
And I think that, I don't know, it's so weird, and it sucks, because if they had just like half of a soul, I feel like this company would be doing something interesting. Like, there is something interesting in the back about the fact that an AI can consume a block of text and then answer questions about it. That's cool. That's interesting. That's another way of learning.
Yeah.
I found that interesting. The problem is when you combine that with all the other stuff it does, it gets very bad very quickly. This actually, which is my ultimate defense against the whole crypto comparison, which is there is actually a use case for this.
Yeah, it actually does something.
It does something.
It's not Chuck E. Cheese tokens that,
yeah,
you know, you've convinced people are worth $35,000 each.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I have basically just been letting it rip. I can tell you get as frustrated about this stuff as I have been feeling. I've kind of like kept my mouth shut for a long time and just sort of watched it. But I think that sort of swing of pieces, I keep going back to it, where it's just like, we talked to a chatbot and it said some weird stuff. It just like pushed me over the edge, and I felt like I had to do you know, some hashtag content on it. But
it's just really funny.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. I don't know. But anyway, looking forward, you know, we've been complaining a lot. What would a better way forward for this stuff look like to you? Like, what do you think needs to happen next? What is the way out of this? Basically, like, if somebody is reading your newsletter or listening to you on this podcast and it's like, really worried that they've upset you, how do they get you to chill out, Ed?
Yeah, how are they going to calm me down?
Yeah.
I think that, and all of this is fantasy because it won't happen, OpenAI should have stayed a non-profit and should have had an actual transparency board, kind of like Facebook does, even though theirs is complete dog shit. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, they needed like an oversight board. I mean, not transparency, but they also needed transparency into their data sets. They needed to build this thing regulation first, and they won't, they didn't. But we need regulation that chooses, basically, there needs to be a ripcord on it that removes data from it. And I just don't know if that actually exists. I don't think it's even possible for it to unlearn stuff, but there has to be some kind of ethics board here, and there has to be regulation that controls, I don't know, everything about it, like who actually, what data sets go into it. There needs to be some way of moderating the content inside it. I don't even know how, like, the most probable thing here is the EU is going to shit all over this. The EU is going to destroy this, because there's absolutely no way to prove, in my opinion, that this wasn't using children's content. There's no way for this to be safe for children, that's for goddamn certain.
No way, yeah.
And there needs to be regulation now, because otherwise we're going to have what happened with Replica happen on a much wider scale. They're going to be communities of people who build relationships with these AI, dumb or not, who get convinced to do very dark fucking things. They're going to be people who, this is my, I know I'm like, I was like, oh, what, how can we fix this? I'm immediately onto another problem. But look at the growth of like MGTOW and Red Pill shit. Imagine if, because those communities grew because young, lonely, disenfranchised men went and got the answer they were looking for. They went and found, instead of being like, oh, maybe the reason women don't like me is I'm horrible or just nasty and they're not attracted to me, because that's perfectly fine and their choice is an autonomous person. How about instead of that, they went to these communities and got told that women were wrong for not liking them? Imagine if just the generative AI does that for them. Except instead of it being ChatGPT, they go to Bing, and Bing's like, oh, your reasoning's totally fine. It may not do that, but we don't know, because we don't know how these things generate their answers. We need transparency on that. They need to actually be a non-profit, and they need to lay out very fucking directly how these answers are generated, off of what information, and be willing to rip things out to save people. Except Sam Altman is exactly not the kind of guy to be like, yeah, I should inhibit technological progress because I believe it will hurt people. No, he'll be like, oh, I've got to build more things. I need to make more doohickeys. What we need is transparency. And we need to understand and have detailed, thorough investigations. But also, we need to have disclosures from these companies that say how data is used, in what form, at length. There needs to be a lengthy explanation, and then there must be regulation about what they can and cannot do. And if we don't do that quickly, we're fucked. I don't mean in like a Skynet way. We're going to have created a new technological problem. If you think people going on Twitter and getting in trouble is bad, imagine if someone could find a Twitter's worth of problem in a search engine.
Yeah. To me, the tech is just not ready to be applied in the way that they're trying to apply it.
Oh, God, no.
Because, you know, they can put a little note on it that's like, oh, hey, disclaimer, you know, the chatbot gets things wrong sometimes. But, like, people...
They will click past immediately.
I mean, we're all adults here. I mean, like, people understand. People will not be like, oh, the chatbot told me to, as you said, sit in the garage with the car running.
I must be clear, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to be like, well, the chatbot told me to burn down the school. No, it's going to be subtle. It's going to be relied upon. And there are the small ball errors that will cause real problems. And then there will be people who are led towards radicalization because they're like, why don't girls like me? I know I'm harping on this specific one, but it's one of the more obvious ones. That is how you get these red pill freaks. That's how you get Andrew Tate fans. That's how you get them. Because they get convenient answers to their problems, which is what the generative AI is going to do. Unless it is very well maintained within law and regulation, what they can do. And I know technological people are going to say, oh, well, we shouldn't restrict tech. Yes, we fucking should. I'm not allowed to throw knives in traffic. I'm not allowed to go outside and swing a baseball bat in a crowd. They're called laws. My right to do stuff is impinged by the fact that I might hurt someone. Get over it, you fucking nerd. Sorry. I think the thing is that there is a good chance that the negative press causes Bing AI and Bard, which is Google's one, of course, to get put in the cupboard for a bit. I would not be surprised if this keeps going and proliferates and it's horrible, but I also think the hype cycle got slightly dinged by the fact that 11 horrible pieces came out at once. I don't think stockholders are going to be like, yeah, this is great. I love that my investment is on the front page of the New York Times and the world's most terrified tech journalist is worried about it. No, I think the stock market's not going to really be happy with that. And they're going to need an answer that is better than whoops, which is basically the only response I've seen. So I was like, uh-oh.
The response so far from like OpenAI when it fucks up is just like, well, you know, this is just, you know, this is why people need to use the product more.
It is what
like
it
is. If you had a Tesla and it caught on fire, it's like Elon Musk being like, well, you know, they're not going to stop catching on fire until more people are driving.
Well, you know, it's actually good that they catch on fire. You are warm now. You are warm now. You have used the Tesla and now you are both warm. You get a free fire with your car.
Fire was
epic, you know, in fact.
It was the best invention of man, and you complain now.
Well, also, here's the weirdest thing, and this is a good point to wrap up on with our favorite business guy, is Elon, I thought he founded OpenAI, but he apparently has no stock in it anymore. Now he's just like, I do not like AI. It is not good. It is actually cringe.
Here's a meme that I pulled out of it, the...
I'm just reading the quote. He says, it is a closed source maximum profit company effectively controlled by Microsoft. Now, here's what's good about that. First of all, he's right. And I don't like admitting this with Elon Musk. I really don't. But also, he said this at 1:36 a.m. Pacific time. So 3:36 a.m. Austin time. He gets online and he's like, yes, OpenAI is bad now. It is a terrible business, unlike mine, Twitter.com.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he didn't say that part, but that's what he's thinking. It's also so good because what possible reason would he need to do anything like this to cause problems like this? But he just wants to distract from the fact that he has possibly destroyed Twitter.com as a business.
Yeah, he just came in and he's like, I know how to make money. And I'm just going to make everyone mad, except the most like weird.
I want him to go back to OpenAI. I want him to go and he is actually, let's put Elon as CEO of OpenAI. He will take care of this shit so quickly. This shit will be broken in 2 weeks.
Where are you at?
It will.
We can regulate this.
No, it will be, you'll be like, what time is it? And it will be like, I do not know. I what? Like the whole thing will just be broken and it will cost $7 every time you send more than 2 messages. He will just make it unusable and be like, no, this is epic. There is a way out here. It's just so thin. It's just, I just don't believe it's going to happen. Look how slowly they regulated crypto. We're fucked.
On that bright and cheery note, Ed, thanks for taking some time and chatting about all this stuff. You know, this is the podcast that it is. So I've got one more question for you. What's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
So someone sent me this video, which I know has been around for a while, called Eating Gluten from the Dark Web. And it's a guy who's attached 2 GoPros, one to each hand and one to his head. And he's just eating. He's spinning in a circle. And he has this like techno video because like the only rule of the jungle is that when the lion has got to eat. And it's just him spinning in circles, eating 2 bits of a sandwich with like Matrix music playing. It's quite something. It makes me very happy every time I watch it. It looks like it's Graham Barrett 69 on TikTok. He's very funny, but I love the gluten from the dark web is also something that will be in my head for a while now.
Very, very powerful concept. Send that to me and I'll throw it in the description.
This is going in your DMs right now.
All right, cool. All right, Ed, thanks so much.
Thank you.